In the name of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Our text is today's lesson, especially John's five words, "Look, the Lamb of God." Ide ho omnes tu Theou. In this Epiphany season, we ponder the wonder of the wise men following the star to worship Jesus. This star, this galactic guide, shows the very heart of God, even as creation in its routine circle shows the handiwork of God. David captures the handiwork of God more broadly in creation when he confesses, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands." With that ringing in my ear, I came across a very interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal. Listen to this editorial. "Today, scientists have identified more than 200 known parameters necessary for a planet to support life, every single one of which must be perfectly met or the whole thing falls apart. Without a massive planet like Jupiter nearby, whose gravity will draw away asteroids, 1,000 times as many would hit Earth's surface. The odds against life in the universe are simply astonishing." And near the close of that article, an Oxford professor, Dr. John Lennox, is quoted as follows: "The more we get to know about our universe, the more the hypothesis that there is a creator gains in credibility as the best explanation of why we are here." Now, we shouldn't hold our breath that such observations will change the blind dogmatism of devotees to the prevailing theory of evolution. But it does show that occasionally God's handiwork in the universe is recognized. And it might be added on a micro level that increasingly scientists are overwhelmed by the coded data in the simplest human cell. There are millions of data there that guide multiple chemical and electrical systems in perfect alignment so that life can be sustained. In fact, in yesterday's chapel, we beautifully heard the choir sing, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." So whether we look to the universe or to the microcosm of a cell, God's handiwork is transparent. David's beautifully penned a truth about the heavens and about humanity remain. But our dark age, wanting to play God, can't see the heavens or humanity rightly. They can't see true beauty. Their eyes are simply blinded by souls that are self-absorbed, self-asserting, and self-defining. After all, if God is recognized, there arises the question of our identity and our accountability. And our age wants none of that. And that is where the star the wise men followed comes into play. In that age, like our own, humanity wanted to create its own God and follow its own rules, epitomized in someone like Herod. One of the ancient authors, in fact, commented that it was safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's son, because he wanted to protect his power. Have things improved? Ponder how many are now killed by their parents. Millions and millions. And how contradictory and phony For those in powerful positions to publicly lament tragic, violent deaths, while also publicly sanctioning and supporting the violent, clinical, chemical murder of the unborn. Many of us will march on Saturday and next week to protest this Holocaust that we can't get our mind around. It's so horrific, but it's in our midst. And we have to at least appeal to natural law when people won't recognize divine law. But as we march, John gives us, with the first apostles, another and more profound and truly beautiful task, namely announcing to and inviting this dark world to behold the Lamb of God. Or as Andrew said to Simon, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. The Lamb of God, the whole omnes tou theou, entails a designation that includes the Passover lamb and the whole Old Testament sacrificial system. In fact, if you get the Paschal lamb right, you get the whole world right. Because in, with, and under the Paschal lamb is a view of God and a view of humanity that is truthful, and beautiful. In the Passover lamb, God is shown to be the God of love, having mercy upon sinful and darkened people. These early apostles knew the darkness, the self-absorption, the sinfulness of humanity. They knew that a sacrificial lamb was needed to cover sin and to remove it from humanity before a holy and righteous God. And we need, clearly and courageously with them, to name the darkness for what it is: evil, engaged in death and devouring human beings. And then, what a calling God has freely given to us, to witness with the apostles and to point people to the Lamb of God. For you and I know the darkness too. We confess it when we say we're poor, miserable sinners. We know our flesh, we know our thoughts, we know the devil. But the light of Christ has shone up on us freely and fully, and it gives us the capacity to live differently, to witness with the apostles to the Lamb of God, and to announce that the devil, the world, and our flesh have been overcome by this one who's absorbed the darkness in his flesh. The light of Christ, the Lamb of God, has come, and it comes in concrete ways, in baptismal water, in the true Eucharistic presence. It comes in his pure word that absolves and restores, because it is Christ's word. As wonderful and as breathtaking as God's handiwork in the universe and a single cell is, here is something greater, more beautiful, more breathtaking, more wonderful, namely to behold the Lamb of God, the Christ child. Here is the heart of God. Here is steadfast love that keeps this universe and life going. Here is the heart of God, very God of very God. And when we see him, we see the Father. And here, when we see the Father, we see God for us, not to condemn, but to redeem. And just not for us, but for every single person sinful in this dark world, the Lamb of God is here for them. Divine light, like a laser that drives out the darkness and a holy God who on the cross takes all darkness and sin and death into his body. Classical Christian art is wonderful to behold because when it portrays frequently the creche, the infancy of Jesus, to the side of the manger, often there is a bound lamb, symbolizing that this infant in his flesh is to be the Lamb of God who reverses the curse and redeems the world. A bit before our text, actually, John used a longer phrase to recognize Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who is presently bearing, a present participle, the sins of the world. Already here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, you are being carried. I am being carried. The whole world is being carried in their sinfulness by the Lamb of God. May our lips and our lives live in this Lamb, point to this Lamb who bears our sins and the sins of the whole world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.